From the Firebird Radio Studio, it's the Authors on Fire podcast with nationally syndicated radio host and producer, Pat Rulo.
Welcome to the Authors on Fire podcast, part of Speak Up Talk Radio's many services, home to the International Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards Hall of Fame, and our newest book song, where we create a musical masterpiece to highlight your book. I am your host, Pat Rulo. And here's a question. What do a haunted Halloween candy bowl, a playful ghost, and the spiritual side of AI all have in common? Well, they're just a few of the stories and insights in today's guest, John Russell's new book, The Cansack Ghost. And today, we're diving into true paranormal encounters, cosmic philosophy, and what it really means to find meaning in the unexplained. Welcome back, my friend John Russell.
Pat, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. I'm happy to be back and happy to talk about the new book.
Oh, I'm happy about this too. You are just a special one. It's made my day to have this opportunity with you. So
thank you.
Yep. So this is your fifth book, yes?
Right.
Yeah. So what inspired you to write The Cansack Ghost, and how does it differ from your previous works?
Well, you know, each book has its own tone, its own energy. Each book is all different, all new stories. And what's inspired me to write all of my books, not just The Cansack Ghost, but all of my books, is I want people to understand that the paranormal is real, that it does intersect and interact with our physical dimension, and that it's not this scary, horrible, demon-infested thing we've been taught it is by the fake ghost hunter shows, that we do have contact with guardian angels and spirit guides that are kind, benevolent beings that watch over us. My spirit guides have literally saved my life many times. And the experiences that we have in our interactions with the other side provide us guidance, heighten our intuition, help us to move forward in lives in positive ways, not just with our spiritual growth, but also with a business interest that we may have or a health interest and so on and so forth. And they teach us how to progress and move forward positively in those ways. So I wanted to write these books so that everybody would have some signposts along the way to kind of point them in a better direction to connect with the other side in meaningful and positive ways. The stories are entertaining. I've had an editor and several readers tell me, I've read books on the paranormal my entire life. I've never read anything like these books. And that makes me feel just tremendous, just really, really happy. And I include some humor in the books. It's, you know, life is dull and dry unless you interject some humor periodically. So the books have humor as well. But mostly, I think the books, if it came down to one quick description, would be that these are things the other side has taught me and allowed me to experience, the lessons I've learned from them. And now I can pass those lessons on to you. And hopefully that makes your life better.
Absolutely. And I think everybody is interested in this and looking for signs, but then just maybe feel a bit uncomfortable about it because it's not necessarily mainstream. And so I think your books help with this. And I also think that the humor plays an important role in sharing these stories. It just allows people to feel a little safer.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Now, somebody, I don't know who it was, describes your stories as equal parts paranormal memoir and cosmic philosophy. So do you see yourself more as a storyteller or a philosopher, or maybe both?
I see myself as both. And that quote actually came from the foreword for the book. And that's my good friend, Martha C. Lawrence.
Oh, yes.
She's a noted mystery writer and has done a lot of work with, tons of people. She used to be a major editor in New York City before she became a writer herself. And that quote's from her. And I do see myself as the greatest thing to me, the greatest honor to me, is to be called a storyteller. And people say what a great storyteller I am. And I appreciate that because that means I'm getting information to them in a way that's not only useful, but that's entertaining. It's not dull or dry or boring. And I just recently had Kat Hobson, who does Fate Magazine Radio, on which I've been interviewed a lot. She called me the Mark Twain of the paranormal. And I mean, that's about as good a compliment as you can get. So I'm thrilled to be a storyteller. And I also am a bit of a philosopher because I like to look at the logical ramifications of things. Because, for example, with UFOs, people have these automatic acceptances of definitions from so-called experts in the field and so on and so forth. And they never stop to question what those people have said and if it really logically works out and plays out the way it should, mm-hmm. or from experiencers. And they take one or two notable cases and rest everything they believe on that instead of looking at the wider picture. And with everything I've done my entire life, paranormal investigations included, I've tried to cast as wide a net as possible, get as much information as possible, talk with as many people as possible, and then take that and run that through the filters of practicality, common sense, and logic, and say, okay, now, does this make sense? Does this play out or not? So that's the filter I've always tried to apply. So yeah, a little bit of both, mostly the storyteller, but a little bit philosopher too.
And the Mark Twain of the paranormal.
And the Mark Twain of the paranormal. I tell you, that's some high praise.
That's awesome, isn't it? Oh my gosh. All right. Well, let's focus in on the book now. With the book's namesake, who or what was the Kansack ghost and how did it keep your household entertained?
Well, the Kansack ghost was this playful entity. That's who I titled the book after, was the Kansack ghost. We literally had a Kansack ghost. There was an elderly retired gentleman that used to come to our apartment complex and dig through the dumpsters to get aluminum cans to recycle. So to earn some extra money. So our apartment complex manager came to all of us and said, look, this poor old guy shouldn't have to be digging around in the big dumpsters. Let's all save our cans and I'll put a big, huge metal trash can out by the pool. And all of us come and dump our cans in there on the day that he comes. And then he can just take it to his truck and dump it in. He doesn't have to dig through the dumpsters. So we all thought that was a tremendous idea. So we all started saving our cans. So we had a sack, a plastic grocery bag, and we would loop it over the knob on the pantry in our hallway. And when we emptied out a can, we would put the can in there. Well, the can started to rattle around and clink around and rustle around in the sack. And so the first time the whole household heard it, we presumed, okay, maybe a mouse has gotten in there, or maybe there's a big roach in there or something. So I took all the cans out one by one, shook them out, looked inside, looked in the bag. Nothing was in there. So it was like, okay, this is obviously paranormal then. Some spirit's getting our attention. And so this happened almost constantly. It was very, very frequent that the cans would rustle and rattle and clatter and shake in the bag. And then one time while we were all sitting there, we could all see the bag. The spirit hit the bag from underneath so forcefully that the bag literally rose up in the air, jumped up in the air, and the cans inside rose up with a great clatter, and then it sunk back down. So that's the origin of the Kansack Ghost title.
Oh my goodness, I love this story. It's kind of
cool. It's a great story. It was a lot of fun. A really playful, happy spirit, and mm-hmm. letting us know that they were there. And it was a lot of fun.
Oh my gosh. And you also talk about ghostly visitations in your New York home, including a haunted trick-or-treat candy ball. That's very timely for this time of year. Walk us through that moment of spirit communication.
That was so much fun. We had my wife and I both love Halloween. So we were shopping in the store and there was this large carved jack-o'-lantern bowl that was open and had a hand inside of it, like covered with gray plastic for skin, that's gray, really movable plastic skin over it. And when you had a motion activated sensor, so when you turned that on and you reached into the bowl for candy, the hand would grab you mm-hmm. and a voice would say, Happy Halloween or trick or treat or whatever. So we said, oh my God, we've got to have this. It's the greatest thing we've ever seen. So we get it, we bring it home. And we had it in our we had a combination living room, dining room, a really big, huge area. And we put it in there. So most of the time we kept it turned off, but every now and then we'd turn it on because we enjoyed the hand grabbing us and trick or treat. So we had an appointment with an investment advisor, and we didn't have a heck of a lot of money. I mean, we were okay, but we thought, well, maybe we'll try and invest in the stock market. And so we had an appointment with this investment advisor who came over, and we had pets. We had cats and dogs. And so this guy comes for the appointment in the evening, and this guy is absolutely the stereotypical, stockbroker type guy, handsome, tall, dark, a tailored suit, fits to the nines, expensive suit, big, nice leather valise he brings in with the stuff. And so he comes in, sits down at the table, and our one little cat, look at this guy, and absolutely, totally, completely fell in love with him. And I mean to the point that it was literally not only comical, but embarrassing. And she would go over, she would scoot over close to him on the table and just gently in slow motion reach up and touch her paw to his face and just hold him there. And we would do, get down. And we'd make her get down. And it got embarrassing. I mean, she would just sit and drool over this guy. She was just idolizing him. So he was a little uncomfortable because of that. But we finally got her down. And so he was giving his presentation to us. And the hand in the bowl started reaching over and grabbing by itself, and the voice going off by itself, trick or treat, happy Halloween, trick or treat. And it did that over and over and over. There would be little pause between each occurrence, but it kept doing it to the point that the guy went, "What's doing that?" And I said, "Oh, it's got a motion activated sensor." And I said, "It's probably the cat setting it off or something." I said, "Let me turn it off." So I turned the switch to the off position where it's not motion activated any longer, right? So we sit back down. I sit back down. We continue with the presentation. And the hand starts grabbing again. Trick or treat. Happy Halloween. Trick or treat. And this guy's like, "I thought you turned it off." And I said, "I did. I double checked. The switch is off. And it keeps going off." And I finally literally had to carry the thing out of the room and put it in another room. And the guy was just totally, completely freaked out.
Can you imagine what he must have said to his cohorts when he left during the
night? Oh, my gosh. You can't believe I was in this creepy old house and this haunted bowl keeps going off by itself.
You know, that makes me wonder, do you find that spirits tend to appear with a purpose, or are they just playful visitors?
I think it's both. You know, we have obvious, meaningful communications from the other side that give us needed information in our life, give us guidance in our life. But I always tell people, I say, sometimes I think some of these things are just, you know, "Hey, I'm here. How you doing? Want you to know I'm around. Hope you're doing okay." That type of thing. Just a casual communication. We do that with each other. We don't always call each other and go into some long diatribe about our lives or our problems or whatever. Most of the time we just pick up the phone, a little light text. "Hey, just thinking about you. How you doing?" We'll get a little short text back. "Doing good. How are you?" "Doing all right. Just wanted to check in." And that's it. And that's meaningful in and of itself. So I think when we get those little playful communications, that they're as valuable in their own way as more significant things.
When these things happen, do you kind of try to assign that to somebody in your past or a being or a creature or something? Or is it not connected to you? Is this just a random?
It usually is connected to me somehow, or something specific for a client. Then it could be any spirit, but if it comes from someone specific, they usually identify themselves to me so that I know, oh, okay, that's mom coming through, or that's one of my guardian angels coming through, or a spirit guide or whatever, or I'll get someone specific for a client.
So one of your most dramatic readings happened in a New York tavern where the recipient immediately called his mother in England. What made that moment so powerful?
Oh, man, that was really terrific. I had, for a number of years, I had just, when I knew that revealing to people that I was a psychic would make them scoff or uncomfortable or skeptical or whatever, for a number of years, I would just, when people ask what I did, I would say I'm a fine artist and a photographer, and I am. I've done those those disciplines for my entire life. And I've sold my paintings, sold my photographs, so on and so forth. But so in this particular bar, nobody knew I was a psychic, and I had kept it low key like that. They just, okay, he's an artist and a photographer. All right. And there was this one gentleman in there. He was from England, and his mother still lived in England. And we were sitting there at the bar one night, and for some reason, I don't even recall how it came about, but it came about that I revealed to him that I was a psychic. And he didn't scoff, and he didn't disbelieve, and he said, okay. He said, well, do the spirits tell you anything for me? Do you have anything for me? So just real quietly and without drawing attention to ourselves, I sat there in this old school New York bar and gave him a short reading. May have went on like 10 minutes or so, maybe 15 minutes. And so after I had delivered all the things I had received for him, after I had told him all these things, he got real quiet for a second. And then he grabbed his cell phone out and he looked at the time and he said, I've got to call me mom in England. I'm calculating the time difference. And he said, oh, the heck with it. I've got to talk with her. And so he calls her and she gets on the phone and he says, Mom, he said, you remember in the Bible where Jesus met this woman at the well and told her everything about her life, even though they had never met before? He said, well, I've met this guy at the bar tonight that's a psychic, and he's told me everything about us and you and dad being on the other side and describing him accurately and everything else. Would you like to talk to him? And so she said, yes. So I took the phone, and I may have told her an additional few things. I don't remember, but that was something that was really wild to do a psychic reading kind of under the radar in an authentic old school New York bar and to just blow this guy's hair back. So that was a pretty amazing time.
The next morning he thought, wait, was that for real? Or did I just have one too many yesterday?
Yeah, right.
Oh, you have fun with your life, don't you?
I do. We have to enjoy our lives. We have to have fun. We have to have a sense of humor. You know, good things have to happen, and we have to kind of make some of those things happen through adopting some positivity and a sense of humor and so on. Yeah.
You tackle big questions from skepticism, which I'm sure it sometimes gets annoying, to the spiritual implications of AI. That's interesting. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. You know, the skeptics, there's not really very many skeptics. They're mostly cynics. They're mostly cynical. And they go into the paranormal with the idea that there's nothing to it, and there's no way for you to prove that there is. And I write at great length about the amazing Randy in there, who was, you know, the biggest noted skeptic of them all and made it his life's work to try and destroy Uri Geller. And the thing about Randy, there's a whole chapter on skepticism that people can read in the book, The Kansas Ghost. And the thing about Randy was that he pretty much went into it with his mind made up and no way to convince him otherwise. And a very interesting thing happened. There was one psychic that, by Randy's own admission, was batting 1,000 in the reading that he was giving Randy. And then Randy misinterpreted something that the psychic said. The psychic didn't state it the way Randy took it, but Randy stated it that way, stated that he did, and then he said, okay, that's wrong. And so therefore, everything is wrong. Now, that's like your math teacher handing you back a test that you had a grade of 90 on and then putting an F beside that, and you failed. And you say, wait, what? I scored 90%. Why the F? Well, one thing's wrong, so everything's wrong. So that was a mindset that Randy had. And when I was doing a lot of radio when we lived in New York, a friend of mine called me one day, and I write about this in the book as well in more detail. And at first I thought, oh, geez, were we supposed to be on the air today? Have I missed our interview? And he's like, no. He said, I'm just having a very special guest on. Can you guess who it is? I don't remember if I hazarded a guess or not. And he told me Randy. And I said, the amazing Randy? And he said, yeah. And he said, I need you to be on to give this guy a run for his money. So I checked my schedule, and there was no way I could rearrange my schedule to be on. And both of us were just crestfallen. And he said, well, give me a couple of things then that I can ask Randy to put him on the spot. And I said, okay, ask him about the guy that by his own admission is batting 1,000, gets one thing wrong, which he really didn't. Like I said, Randy just misinterpreted it. And then Randy says, if one thing's wrong, everything's wrong. And then I said, ask him this question as well. Ask him if he was being totally, completely honest, if in his heart of hearts, he'll have to admit that hasn't he experienced at least one thing on this earth that he can't explain by normal means. Mm-hmm. So he said, okay. So he had Randy on, then he called me after Randy had been on. And he said, boy, that was a trip. I said, what happened? And he said, well, I asked Randy about the guy batting 1,000 by his own admission up to that point. And Randy says, these are all my rules. I make all the interpretations. Everything's set up ahead of time. They have to agree to my rules. And if I say something's wrong, then everything's wrong. And he wouldn't back down on that, wouldn't take any, well, isn't that rather unfair or anything like that? Just that was his modus operandi. So then my friend asked him, he said, well, if you're being totally, completely honest in your heart of hearts, haven't you had at least one experience that you can't explain by normal means? And he said, Randy's response was so loud and so terse that it actually almost made him jump back from his studio mic because Randy went, no, next question.
Oh.
So, you know, the skeptics go into it with their minds made up and with no room for any explanation and no room for failure because, look, the other side doesn't show up on appointment 9 times out of 10. Mm-hmm. You take what you get. When I did a paranormal investigation in upstate New York, went there one night, and had a ton of witnesses, and all of us experienced tons of physical paranormal phenomena. All of us saw it. All of us heard it. All of us felt it. And saw it with our own eyes. Things were affected physically that we all saw. And there was tons of manifestations. Went back a week later, not a darn thing happened. So, you know, I think skeptics, if they go to an investigative site and nothing happens, I go, see, there's nothing to any of it. It's all imagination or whatever. And they're not willing to take the time to continue to explore and continue to visit that site to allow something to happen because seemingly conditions are more ideal or less ideal for physical demonstrations from spirits on the other side than other times are. But skeptics aren't willing to do that. Mm-hmm. Likewise, they're wanting to go to a psychic or a medium or whatever and have 100% accuracy 100% of the time. And it just simply does not work that way.
Right. Wow. How sad to be that person that doesn't want to be open to understanding.
Exactly.
Well, I think your books will really play into people who are skeptics because, as we mentioned earlier, they're fun to read. They're entertaining. So if readers walk away from, say, the Kansas ghost with just one insight, what do you hope it'll be?
To just be open to the possibility that the spiritual realm is real, that it does exist, and that they can interact and learn from it. And that it doesn't have to be any specific religion or dogma or ritual or any specific type of spiritual belief. Just open up to the concept that there is this spiritual realm out there at large and that there are many ways to connect with that, yes, but that you can connect with it. It can protect you. It can guide you. It can help you. And it can help you to grow spiritually and find out some of those answers, not all of them, but some of the answers about why we're here, what our purpose in life is, and help us to achieve and accomplish some of those things, as well as just live a better, more comfortable life. For me, it's been very comforting to know that the spiritual realm exists and that I can tap into it and interact with it. And again, like I've stated before, many times my guardian angels have literally, physically intervened and literally saved my life.
Oh, wow. Wow, wow, wow. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to get a little personal because
sure,
you've cared to ask that my husband was not doing well with cancer. He passed away about 4 weeks ago.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, me too. So I'm looking, you know, I'm looking for something and
yeah,
not finding it.
Yeah. Looking for that sign, looking for that communication. Yeah. And just keep looking, because sometimes it amazes me. There are people that cross over to the other side and you get dramatic multiple communications from them almost immediately. Yeah. And then other people have been there for a long time and it seems like they're having more of a difficult time doing that communication for whatever reason. And I don't know what that is. I can hazard some guesses. You know, I can, you know, maybe conditions are easier for one person to manipulate than another. Maybe that person has a more difficult time learning the technique of communication with the side or bringing a sign to the side. And then finally that aha moment comes and they're able to do that. We don't know. We can speculate, but we just don't know. Mm-hmm. But there are, don't give up on getting that. No. Because like I said, some people, there was a guy I had, a friend I had, a fellow riding buddy, a fellow biker. And when he crossed over, he was communicating immediately with everybody from the other side. Mm-hmm. And I mean dramatic physical communications and like phone calls from his cell phone number, which was turned off, and things like that, mm-hmm. that his wife had on the mantle there in their home. And just every kind of physical manifestation you can imagine. Our phone rang while we were discussing him, talking yeah. about him. And the funny thing was about that phone, we had gotten new phones. And so we had disconnected those old phones and they were incapable of receiving either calls or texts. But while we were sitting there talking about our deceased friend, the phone started buzzing around on this glass table that indicated that a text was coming in. And that was impossible because it was no longer connected to the service. So all those types of things happened with this guy. And yet there's other people that have crossed over, other dear friends of mine that I've gotten very sparse communication from. And we loved each other dearly, had great connection. And, you know, I don't know, but just hang in there and keep trying.
Well, I guess I expected that because after my mom passed away in 2016, she was there that same morning and I constantly get signs from her. So I thought, this is how it is. But not yet.
Always. Yeah, not always. And we don't know why. So,
oh, my gosh. Right. Yeah. Well, all right, my friend, thank you for clarifying that. I'll hang in there. So what's next for you after the CANSAT ghost? More ghost stories, more philosophy, or something new entirely?
Well, both and more. I'm still writing. Oh, there's my little dog barking on the truth. I'm writing a follow-up to 20 Ways to Increase Your Psychic Abilities. That's titled 20 More Ways to Increase Your Psychic Abilities.
Okay.
And there'll be 20 all new techniques in there. There'll be things on grounding, on using a singing bowl, all kinds of things. It's going to be full of all kinds of neat techniques, an amazing meditation that's really going to blow everybody's hair back, that's so easy to use. So that's a fun book that'll be coming out next year. And then in 2027, yet another book of amazing true paranormal stories and adventures and a little philosophy and some more humor thrown in. So that'll be coming out 2027. And then I'm working on a novel, and we'll see how that applies. I'm not done with it yet, but working on that. So still plenty to do and plenty to come. Do.
Well, yeah, with all of your experiences, you're so compelled to put them on paper and share them. So
thank
you for doing that. Well, then if you would share any contact information where folks can find out more and get your books or get a hold of you.
Absolutely. If you want a psychic reading, the easiest way to do this, rather than prowling around on the internet or whatever, just go to johnrussell.net. Enter johnrussell.net in your browser. It'll take you to the website I've built for my readings. If you want more information on my books, go to johnrussellauthor.com. johnrussellauthor.com. And that'll take you to the website for my books. All the books are listed there. Links to buy them on Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, Apple Books, wherever you want to get them. Information about the books, endorsements, reviews, the medals each book has won, so on and so forth. So johnrussell.net for the readings, real easy. johnrussellauthor.com for the books. Okay. And then on my johnrussell.net website, right at the top, there's a horizontal list of links. And if you click on those links, one says, listen to interviews, basically. Click on that link, and there's a whole big, huge, long page with over 200 of my interviews on there that you can watch on YouTube, listen to on radio, so on and so forth. So you can listen to a ton of interviews there and find out more there.
Oh, so rich with information. Thank you. Thank you so much. Anything we missed that you wanted to bring up, or are we looking good?
I think we're looking good, Pat. It's always a joy and a pleasure to be here, and I hope the listeners enjoy this. And please go get the books. You can get them at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Minute, Apple Books, Walmart and Target carry most of the titles online. So they're available just about everywhere. And they're going to be different than anything you've ever read. They're not going to scare you to death. They're going to enlighten you. They're going to entertain you. They're going to inform you. And you're going to have a lot of fun with them.
Absolutely. John, thank you for sharing your incredible stories and insights from the Kansas Ghost, from playful spirits to profound philosophies. Your work reminds us that the paranormal isn't just about scares. It's about meaning, connection, and sometimes even laughter. So I hope everyone visits your websites, check you out, and keep your mind and maybe your doorways open to the mysteries around us. John, you're the best. Thank you for being here with me today.
Thank you, Pat.